And thank you so much for making it out. It's everything changed instantly when our president told us we can't meet with over 100 people. So we probably have 3,500 people that come onto this property on a Sunday. So we are under government instruction. And so I hope that fear hasn't gripped your heart. I don't think it has, but I really hope it hasn't, because I've just met with a couple now to do their wedding planning, and the bridesmaid said to her, who's a Christian girl, if you fly on the aeroplane and we drive down, then I don't really want to be around you on your wedding day, because if you fly on the plane and hire a car which could have had an Italian in it, I don't really want to be around you. She said, what must I do? I said, fire her. and just get somebody who's got faith to stand alongside your wedding day. But we have to be real, because it is real, and there are lives at stake, and we have social responsibilities, and we are citizens of our country, and we are under a government. And but I don't think we should be fearful. It couldn't have come at a worse time if God didn't know about it, in the middle of a building program to try and raise money and stop church. But God did know about it. So the timing is perfect. And I believe, honestly, if God is God, I think we can see something come out of this that we would never have imagined. I think some of you might not ever come back to 3CR. No, honestly, I think you might see a revival in your home through your neighbors, and you might end up planting a church. And we've got to trust God could do anything at this time. And sometimes the only time you're ever going to get a neighbor into your home is by having a church in your home on a Sunday. And so I just want to read this so that we're on the same page. And I am going to open up for questions afterwards, but not negative ones. Because one person can sink a whole meeting. And this is a time for faith. And Acts chapter 6 says, when the church grew, they appointed deacons and life group leaders and helpers to help the growth of the church. And the first thing it says, they were men of faith. So I'm presupposing that you've got faith in your heart. And when Gideon's 300 went to, he says, if the men have not got faith, send them home. And so you're here because you've got faith. And so I'm saying that is our presupposition, that you've got faith in your hearts. You're ready to do what God wants to do. And people have got all different things. Because of social spacing, we mustn't meet on Sundays. We are going to meet on Sundays. And we're going to meet in homes. Now, some of you might not have the conscience to be able to do that. That's fine. But as a whole, we are going to do a recorded message of 20 minutes. I'm going to speak for the next 3 weeks just because I'm one of the voices that are known. So just for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be speaking, videoed. You'll have access to it on a Saturday. There will be notes that go with it. And we can have a 40-minute, by 20-minute preach. We're going to have some worship, which we're going to pre-record, and some questions which you can ask afterwards. So it's going to be a very packaged deal. Keep everybody on the same page while we're in 50 different venues. So I think we have 60 home groups right now. If we get 20 to 30 people in each of the home groups, we can actually cover a lot of people. And so this is the psalm that I want to read. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Capital A. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. I mean, surely. Surely He will. And from the deadly pestilence. Surely. Not maybe, surely. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. You will not fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. For the plague that destroys at midday, nor the plague. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You're traveling, you're building, you're shopping, you're going to the toilet, you're walking amongst public places, in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Let's just call upon the Lord just for 2 minutes. Ryan, why don't you start? Just call upon the Lord.
Father, we just want to beseech you, Lord, for faith.
Grace. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's an amazing response, guys. Thank you so much. I just want to read one more scripture and then we're going to finish because you said we'd be done by 5:30 and I want to honor that time. Thank you for giving up tonight. This is what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says, they devoted themselves. And so we've always built a church where we're saying we're not trying to devote people. We're not trying to rally people. We're not trying to market something. We're not trying to manipulate something. We're not trying to be heavy-handed in anything. And so I actually think we've got an incredible opportunity to see whether we've built well or not. And so what we've built will be tested now. And I think it's good for us to be tested. And you know, people say, what are you going to do about the money? The money is the least of my worries. I am much more concerned about people's marriages than I am about money. And about people's well-being and about those who've just got saved. I'm much more concerned about that than about money. But they devoted themselves, so that's what we always, to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. The fellowship, the ground is just changing. It's no longer fellowship here, it's going to be fellowship in your homes. And I think we can double our home groups. I don't think this thing's going to be 4 weeks. I think it's going to be 8 to 12 weeks. So I think we just got to get ready for that. So I think we should take an 8 to 12 week view of things. Let's even take a 12 week view. For 3 months, we're not going to meet together. I think if you say that's fear-based, I don't believe it is. I just think let's plan for that. And if it's less, then we just celebrate coming together earlier. So I think for 12 weeks, we're going to have fellowship in a different environment. So dig deep, get faith, exercise your gifts. And as Clint was sharing that, that scripture, we preached about that just the other day. One body, different parts or multiple parts, different gifts, love. And we're just going to have to see that over and over again. The very first time I preached in this church was the army of Gideon. We play team at night when the leaders are not present. That's how a team gets tested. Can we still play at night when we don't see each other? We're not together often. We don't worship together on Sundays. But we're still on one team at night without the presence of some of the leaders in our lives. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So when last did you lead a breaking of bread time? You've just got about 12 opportunities to do it. You have just got about 12 opportunities. Study Corinthians. Get some online sermons. Get down on your knees. Read Isaiah 53. And actually get the meaning of breaking of bread. And you will see God do something so deep inside of your hearts and unlock something that the next time we break bread together, you will understand what that unity and power in the breaking of bread means. You've got 12 opportunities to do it and to lead it now. Amen. And to give that to other people. Everyone was filled with awe. Or as the local people say, awe. Everybody was filled with awe. I think this is going to be 12 weeks of awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything in common. We are going to see needs now like we've never seen in our lives before. I think cars are going to be given away. I think all sorts of things are going to be released into people's lives. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Well, we can't do that anymore. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Say all the people.
All the people.
And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If I look at this scripture, there are only four relationships here. There's a relationship with God in prayer and in worship and in the breaking of bread. There's a relationship with leaders, which is not changing. It's just different leaders they're going to be relating to. There's a relationship with each other, which is going to only get deeper, and there's a relationship with unbelievers. So those are the four relationships that make up the life of a local church. And I don't think any of those are being compromised. Let me say it again. So relationship with God, through praise, we're going to be doing praise, through the breaking of bread, and through prayer. There's a relationship with leaders. That's going to remain. It's just going to be different leaders. There's a relationship with each other, which is going to get deeper. Because we're going to have fellowship at a much different level. And there's a relationship with unbelievers, the guys living next door to us. And the Lord added to them daily those getting saved. Those four relationships we've got to pray into and protect. And I believe we're going to see God on steroids. We're going to see our way like we've never seen in our life before. I believe we will double the size of our home groups in 12 weeks. Because people are going to say, well, can I open my home? Can I open my home? Can I open my home? Because actually, the preaching will be there. The worship will be there. You'll just have to facilitate. And God's going to start to unlock some of the gifts in your heart, which you're not prepared to do in front of 2,000, but in front of 15 or 20 or 10 or 8 or 7, you'll be prepared to exercise those gifts. And God is going to give you a confidence that is going to become a steamroller. So I am unbelievably excited. We are going with, some obviously are going on holiday and all those things, but we are asking you to open your homes on Sundays and to continue. I think sometimes obviously guys close for holidays, but to continue having just a fellowship time on your Tuesday or Friday night, just so that we can keep the community together. Everybody's got different conscience levels. Romans 14 tells us that. It says if a guy can't eat vegetables, then, and so I can't put my conscience onto you. So some guys say, but actually I want to rather honor social spacing. I've got no problem with that, and you're not any lesser than anybody else. But we're saying right now, everybody is availing themselves to what we believe God has called us to. I think what people are watching 3CI, I didn't know this, but we have 10,000 downloads a Sunday on our sermons. 10,000. Jeez, if I'd known that, I would have put a hat on long ago. 10,000. 10,000. 40,000 downloads a month. Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, guys, do you know what happened? And this sounds crazy in a building project, but one of our friends' elders was killed in Pietermaritzburg. He was chopping down a tree which had fallen over in his front garden, and he sent his two sons to go and take the tree and put it at the back, and a guy came around the corner too fast and killed him. And it's one of our partners. It's the guy who actually told Grant Askham that I need to come and take over this church. And I said to the guys, what should we do? If it was one of our elders or one of our deacons, what would we do? He's got children at school. He's got a wife who's got a bond to pay. What should we do? And the guys prayed and cried. And it was most of them, it just felt like they were our partners. And anyway, we felt we should give them 100,000 rand so she could pay school fees, pay her bond. Now, that's a lot of money in a building project. I mean, it's a lot of money in any. So we gave 100,000 rand. The next day, from Hong Kong, from a person that we've never, ever heard of in our life, 114,000 rand was deposited into our bank accounts. And I just thought, felt God say, I'll give it back to you with VAT. Just whatever you give, it'll come back with VAT. No, I felt that in my heart. It wasn't 6 hours. That money was not out of our account for 6 hours. I'm telling you guys, God has raised us up as a base church. People are watching now. Ah, building project. Ah, now let's see what you guys are going to do. I'm not nervous. This is what I think. I don't know. We haven't come to a consensus about what we're going to do with the offerings. Andrew has just put the details down here if you want it. If people want. But we are not going to push money on the videos. I think it's a time for a journey of generosity. What is a journey? That's the only phrase I get in my heart. What is a journey of generosity? Well, now people walk 15 to 20 meters to put their money in. Now they're going to drive 15 to 20 kilometers to put their money in. So I'm hoping that people are actually going to get in their cars and drive to the church and bring their tithes and offerings. So can you imagine saying to your children, hey guys, we're going to take our tithes and offerings to the church. They say, like, what do you mean? Like right across town. You know, like right across town in the traffic, we're going to take our tithes and offerings, we're going to bring it before the church, and we're going to put it in a bowl. So I think right now that's what we're going to do. So we're going to trust that people take their journeys of generosity from 15 to 20 meters to 15 to 20 kilometers. And we're going to trust God that in that place, we still see His mighty provision. Yeah. So hundreds of thousands of rands come in from the offering every month in the bowl. So we can't just give up that money. It's just like we won't take up tithes and offerings. Some guys are taking up offerings in the home group scenarios. I don't know what to do. I really can't say God has spoken. As an eldership, we haven't decided. We might change that. But right now, that's what we feel. Or I just felt the journey of generosity. I would love to bring my children to church just to drop my offerings off. You know, I think it could be remarkable. How we do that, I don't really know. But anyway, we've got 3 minutes. Are there any questions?
I just want to share a vision a lady saw last night. She saw a big, ginormous bread on the property, on the new property.
Yeah.
Just lying there.
Beautiful. Yeah. Awesome. Do you know the first time I preached here on Gideon's army, it says a loaf of barley bread went tumbling into the enemy camp. Mm-hmm. You know that? That's what it says. It says a loaf of barley bread. The guy had a vision. He just said, there's this loaf of barley bread that's going to come into trouble in. He said, surely that is Gideon's army. So I think that's an incredible prophetic word. That gives me great courage. That tells me God is with us. So thank you for sharing that, Rhea.
Rhea, just quickly about a Sunday. So we'll gather on a Sunday, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you gather 9 o'clock. You will have the downloads by we're going to put it in different formats.
Yeah.
Stephen?
Yeah, so we're going to put it on our website. Probably a couple of formats, sizes, so if you've got a tiny internet connection, you can download, or you can stream. The reason for download is in case you're load shedding, in case you've got internet issues, you can do it Saturday night or early Sunday morning, pop it on a USB stick and play it on the TV.
Should we not provide some USB sticks here?
So we are busy chatting about that, especially
okay.
For the older guys.
So that'll have worship with the song. So what we're going to do now, we're going to just be anthemic. So Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. Those are some of the songs God has spoken to us at this time. So we're going to keep it there. But Hilton, I think there's also going to be a chance where some people are sitting in home groups who have never led worship. They're going to start leading worship again, or start to learn the guitar. So I think we're going to see the unbelievable release of gifts. But right now, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, if we can just stick to the package, it's not a control system. It's just keeping everybody on the same page, one spirit, one heart, one purpose. This is where we're going. Otherwise, people are going to be doing prophecy and then somebody else is going to be doing marriage. You say, this is where we're going to. So the first Sunday is just to calm everybody down. It's like, hey, here's my fortress and my refuge and ever-present help in times of need. So that people are not, because there's all sorts of information and internet, and you think, I see all the economies of the world crashing and China go up. And you think, is it a conspiracy? You know, and no, you got to ask that because because they lost the trade deal, did they put this into the world? So I think there's just so many different. So we just say no. This is what the Word of God says. There are hundreds of theories. This is what the Bible says. You know, these four relationships are key: with God, with leaders, with each other, and with the unsaved. We're going to continue those through this environment right now. That's what we're going to do. So 9 o'clock starts. And you're going to battle with everything that we battle with on Sundays. And then you're going to have unbelievable respect for us. Starting on time, long closing up afterwards, all that stuff.
Awesome.
You're about to experience it. You're going to come back and say, sorry, Rory, I didn't know that coming late is a major issue. You're going to feel everything. Rhino. Yes, yeah. No, exactly the same as us. We faithed it in, so you faithed it in too. So God bless you. Yeah, there's no central reserve here. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. There it is. No, they must do it online.
Yeah.
I think that's going to. There it is. There. So that's the bulk of it. I think 80% of people do it online. Some people bring it. I don't want us to be silly and say we're not taking up tithes and offerings because I'd be silly. We're building in a building project. We have to, you know, from Thursday night, we had 100,000 rand a day coming since Thursday night, effectively. So we've got to say thank you to God. I've never commanded rich people to be generous. But something happened on Thursday that I commanded, and I said Amazon will fall in an hour, and everybody laughed at me, and most of those big companies have dropped 25% in a few hours. So Amazon can fall in an hour.
Lots of people that aren't in
hungry. Yeah.
How do we make it easier for them to slot in on their day?
Yes. I think what we're going to do, Gary, is we're going to just put the names of the home group leaders up. And there was meant to be a video that went up yesterday, but I'd come from Cape Town, 6 sessions, I was too tired. So I'm going to make a video tomorrow just to say, hey guys, this is what we're going to be doing for the next, I'm going to say probably 8 to 12 weeks. Yeah. We're going to be meeting in homes. There will be a list of guys. These are the home group leaders whose homes are open. If you're going away, please let us know. If you don't have the same conscience, please let us know. But these are the homes. I'm also hoping that other people open up their homes in this time. So some of you guys here are not leading homes. Maybe say, actually, we open up our home. We've got one or two elders that are not leading home groups. We open up our homes. So I think we can actually end up having 100 open homes in the city. And I think we might even get to a place where a top 100 guys register to meet here. I don't want to do that right now because I think we want to honor the president with social spacing and all those things. But I think some people will need to come here just for their well-being. So we could have a meeting here for the 100 people downstairs. So I think there are many options, but we'll make it easy for people, Gary.
Okay.
Yeah. I think our home groups are going to double. And then there are some families that are going to just watch it at home. And we're going to let them know how the links work. We'll get the USB things loaded. And so literally, some families are not in home groups. We'll just watch it at home. So if we've got 10,000 hits now a month, you've got to know there are a lot of people watching us online.
Yeah.
So that's going to go to 12 or 13,000 a month.
A week.
So listen, we're probably going to have teething problems and we might change. We're just trying to respond as best. I mean, I spoke to one of my friends. He said, there's no ways with a clear conscience you guys can meet on Sundays. And I just put the phone out. I thought, there's no ways with a clear conscience that we can't meet on Sundays. So God's going to speak with different people around different things. On Psalm 91, I've got faith that we can, but I can't put that faith. I've got faith that we can meet.
Yes.
And did I tell the story of the bubonic plague? John G. Lake.
Yeah.
I haven't told it. I told. So John G. Lake, in the bubonic plague, John G. Lake said, put the foam and phlegm of an infected man's lungs into my hand and put it under a microscope. And I mean, the bubonic plague was highly, highly, highly contagious. And they put it in his hand, they put it under a microscope, and they saw the plague dying in his hand. You know? And so we have to trust, guys, now. We have to trust now that everything God has done, the unity that he's brought, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. We've got to trust now that is right, you know. I saw Dudley Daniel was my spiritual father. He had a liver transplant and all his family had to use hand sanitizers all the time. They all got sick for years. They were sick all the time because they killed everything that was meant to actually give them a resistance. They killed everything. So we can go to the world and sanitize and sanitize and sanitize. You'll end up reversing actually God's order, which is our bodies are meant to fight something. You know, so we've got to be wise and thoughtful but faithful. Number six, I prayed over the church every day. The Lord bless you and keep you. And in my day, it says, keep you safe, keep you strong, keep you secure, keep you healthy, keep you counting, keep you sacrificial, keep you vulnerable, keep you generous. I pray that every day over the church. And it's like, God's not going to just desert us all of a sudden and not keep us safe and keep us healthy and keep us strong. I've got a prayer list of 450 something names. Only one person, since I've prayed that list, only one person has ever died on that list. Now, all of you are praying. And all our combined prayers. The Bible says if you call on the Lord, pestilence won't even come near you. You've got to believe that, guys. So these meetings are supernatural. So what happens in your home is supernatural.
Yeah.
Jesus reaches out, he touches a leper. The leper gets healed. Jesus doesn't get leprosy. We've got to believe that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He who is inside of me is greater than he that is in the world. We've got to believe that stuff now. It's for times like this that we test it.
Sure.
You know?
Rory, can I just ask in that and off at the back of your reading the scripture in the beginning. So I don't want it to be negative at all.
Yeah.
And I'm filled with faith and I'm filled with peace. I'm not afraid of Corona, but what I want to, and I want to start off by saying also I want to submit myself completely to your rebuke if I'm wrong. I want to know where 3CR's heart is, where the eldership's heart is about a scripture like that where, you know, my faith in Jesus can protect me from disease.
Yeah.
And so I fully believe God is capable of doing that.
Fully. Yeah. Yeah.
But I also know that Christians get sick.
Yeah.
And so my worry around a scripture like that is for maybe younger believers that will hear a scripture like that and the faith accompanying it to say, you know, well, God can prevent disease from entering this house, and then a believer gets sick.
Yeah,
and then what? Did I believe? Was my faith strong enough?
Yeah,
did I not deserve God's protection?
But if I didn't read that scripture to young believers. I read it to old believers. And the response is, if you call out on my name, then this will happen. So the response was from mature believers who started to call out on the name of God. So I think there is, what we saw, that scripture actually has got two parts. I will protect you if you call on my name. And so what I think, I wouldn't read that to the whole church. I would read it to a mature group of believers who are full of faith, who actually responded by faith. And I say, I leave here with faith in my heart. So yes, people are sick. Yes, I've got an issue with my head. Has God ever healed it? No, he hasn't. Do I believe he can? Yes, he can. Do I believe in Psalm 91? Right down to the... absolutely. 120%. And actually, I went on one of the scriptures says, you'll not be bitten by the snake or the scorpion. And I went on holiday one year with Psalm 91. I prayed it every single day. I got bitten by a scorpion and one of our elders got bitten by a snake. And I had to work that through and think, so what did that mean, you know? It was a poisonous scorpion. We happened to have the medicine in the middle of the Zambezi Valley that countered that bite. And therein is the complexity of Scripture, right?
Yeah.
But this is not the time to look at the Twin Peak. This is a time to actually preach and to prophesy and to actually meet. If guys don't have a conscience, if they don't have faith, they must actually go home. That's what the Bible says. Because Gideon's army will take this. So if guys have got no faith, they must go home. Because otherwise they will infiltrate this army. And actually they will scatter us. You know?
I feel like my heart, because I shared that in our life group on Tuesday, was exactly that. It's like, I'm full of faith in a scripture like that. I believe it with all my heart. So there's no doubt in my heart that God's goodness and his sovereign control.
Yeah.
But I almost felt like, and I shared it with my life group, as they were asking those questions, like, I feel like our testimony in a time like this as believers... it's not necessarily, and again, rebuke me if I'm wrong, not necessarily like no one will get sick, you know, but it's a testimony of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where it's faced with Nebuchadnezzar, where he was threatening to throw them in the furnace unless they bowed down to him. Their testimony was like, we know our God can save us from this fire.
Yeah, but even if he doesn't,
we will not worship
him. Yeah, and I think he preached those two things together, you know.
Whether I get sick or not is irrelevant. I will worship my God and know he's good and I believe in him. And my health status is not going to change that, you know.
Yeah, amen. But I still, if I would lean on the side of faith and say, I believe if you're in a faith-filled community that believes the scriptures, I think we can go through this without one person being touched. Now, is that idealistic? I don't know. But that's the faith I have in my heart. And I don't mind if somebody comes and proves me wrong, but that's still the faith I have. That's what I get up and pray with. So number six, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you. That I'm praying that. I'm trusting God for that. So I honestly think my business cannot suffer. One of my managers said, our business, April is our most important month of our year. I said, guys, no one's flying to Canada. No one's flying to Cape Town. No one's flying overseas. And I said, everybody's going to drive down. We're going to have the best April of our whole lives. I've got to believe that. Is that rubbish? Or is that actually, everyone's going to go to the beach. They're not going to sit here in Joburg. So they're going to go past my business. I've got to believe. But the Bible says, if you tithe, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and protect your crops from pestilence and your vines from seeding, you know. So I've got to believe that because of my tithing, I'm protected. You know, in my business and in my finances. And Amazon's doing this and everything's doing this. But actually, at the end of the day, my finances are going to be fine. Yeah, and blessed, you know. See if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven. I think time, I don't want to dishonor time. Last one.
Sorry, just one question. Is there going to be something for the kids?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Do we have faith in our hearts, guys? Thank you. Thanks, Clint. Guys, thanks for coming. Please just watch the website. I'm not a website guy, but we have to communicate in different ways with great faith. And we'll get together like this every now and again just to touch base, love each other, and pray. Cool. Thanks for coming, guys.